Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael, and I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of Sunday, December 19th, 2021. This will be the final reading of the San Angelo newspaper for this year. We will be back with our next reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, which will be broadcast on Friday, January 7th. I'll begin with the most recent articles. COVID-19 update, a look at San Angelo coronavirus data for December 2021, published December 22nd. Tom Green County, as of December 22nd, City of San Angelo. 25,874 positive cases reported. 39 new positive tests. Deaths, 476. 301 from Tom Green County and 175 from other counties. 14 currently hospitalized. 296 active cases. Tom Green County COVID-19 Vaccine Tracker by Diane Panatelio. Tom Green County has administered more than 127,361 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as of December 21st, according to data from the Texas Department of State Health Services. That's up 1.38% from the previous week's tally of 125,623 COVID-19 doses administered. In Tom Green County, 46% of people living in Tom Green County are fully vaccinated as of December 21st. Michael Martin Murphy, set to perform in San Angelo in March 2022, by Jay Moreno, special to the San Angelo Standard Times, published December 21st. The San Angelo Symphony is scheduled to perform with two-time Grammy nominee Michael Martin Murphy in March. The Dallas native will hit the stage with the city's symphony at Angelo State University's Janelle Center on March 26, 2022. He has recorded albums in a variety of genres during his 55-year career, such as country, rock, folk, and bluegrass, with six songs reaching the top 40 of the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Tickets aren't on sale yet for the general public, though they are available for San Angelo Symphony season ticket holders. Murphy's career dates back to the mid-1960s when he began as a songwriter for the Monkees. He released his debut album, Geronimo's Cadillac, in 1972. His highest charting single was 1975's Wildfire, which peaked at number 3 on the Hot 100 and topped Billboard's Adult Contemporary chart. The singer has received Grammy nominations for Best Country Vocal Performance Duet for A Face in the Crowd, a 1987 duet with Holly Dunn, as well as a Best Bluegrass Album nomination for his 2009 album Buckaroo Bluegrass. The same year, he was inducted into the Texas Country Music Hall of Fame. For more information, visit the San Angelo Symphony's Facebook page at facebook.com/ San Angelo Symphony, or the concert's Facebook page. Four candidates filed to run in special election for San Angelo City Council and District 5, by John Tufts, published December 23rd. Four candidates vying to represent single-member District 5 on the San Angelo City Council will square off during a special election next month. The deadline for filing an application to appear on the ballot expired Monday. Earlier this month, the San Angelo City Council approved holding a special election January 29, 2022, to elect a new representative for single-member District 5, which includes the areas of Santa Rita and College Hills. Monday was also the deadline to file a declaration of write-in candidacy. By 5 p.m., Monday, December 20th, four candidates had turned in an application. They included John Austin Stokes, filed December 7th, Lynette Lucas, filed December 7th, Brian Neal Angel, filed December 8th, Karen Hesse Smith, filed December 13th. The winner will serve an unexpired term until May 2023. The council seat for single-member District 5 was vacated in November by Lane Carter, who resigned his position to run for Tom Green County judge in the March 2022 Republican primary. An election to fill Carter's vacancy normally would have taken place 120 days after his announcement to leave office, according to Section 11 of the Texas Constitution, for terms exceeding 2 years, but not 4 years, and when the remaining term is more than 12 months away from re-election. Carter resigned from city council on November 16th. Important special election dates. Saturday, December 25th. Last day for candidate to withdraw, 5 p.m. deadline. Monday, December 27th, drawing for order on the ballot, 10 a.m. Thursday, December 30th, last day to register to vote. Wednesday, January 12th, first day of early voting by personal appearance. Tuesday, January 25th, last day of early voting by personal appearance. Saturday, January 29th, Election Day, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Where to vote on Election Day. On Election Day, January 29th, polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the following locations, according to a city news release. Angelo Bible Church, 3506 Sherwood Way. MHMR Services of the Concho Valley Administration Building, 1501 West Beauregard Avenue. St. Mark Presbyterian Church, 2506 Johnson Avenue. For more information, contact City Clerk Julia Antilli at 325-657-4405 or at julia.antilli, A-N-T-I-L-L-E-Y, at COSATX.US. How to register to vote. Voter registration applications are available at the Tom Green County Election Voter Registration Office on the first floor of the Ed B. Keys Building, 113 West Beauregard Avenue. Applications can be obtained online at votetomgreencounty.org, by mail, or by calling 325-659-6541. Completed applications can be returned in person or by mail. Citizens can also register to vote when renewing their driver's license in person at a Texas Department of Public Safety office. To determine eligibility to vote or current registration status, visit votetexas.gov/register-2-vote. Child in San Angelo injured after attempting to stop fight. One woman arrested. By Elena Edgen, published December 20th. A San Angelo woman has been arrested after police found a child with multiple scratches around their eyes and a clump of hair missing from their head, according to an arrest affidavit released Monday. On Sunday, December 19th, police arrived at a residence on Summit Lane to investigate a reported assault on a 13-year-old child. The child had a 2-inch scratch on their right cheek, gouge marks under their eyes, and red swollen marks under their left eye, records state. Officers learned a woman had been fighting with another person when the child attempted to separate them. Police say the woman pulled the child's hair, struck their face multiple times, grabbed their face, and stabbed the child's eyes with her fingernails, according to the arrest affidavit. The affidavit did not mention how the fight began. When police investigated, they discovered the woman with a clump of black hair in her hand. Investigators noted the woman had scratches and abrasions as well as broken fingernails, records state. Ashley Catalina Hernandez, 28, was arrested Sunday on suspicion of injury to a child with intentional bodily injury and 2 misdemeanor charges of assault causing injury, family violence, and criminal trespass. She was released from the Tom Green County Detention Center hours later on a $40,500 bond, according to online jail records. San Angelo expected to see warm weather through the holidays, by Jay Moreno, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times, published December 20th. San Angelo can expect warm weather through Christmas and into next week, according to local weather forecasts. Stephen Harrison, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in San Angelo, says the high temperature should be in the low 80s on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It could be windy on Christmas Eve, with gusts up to 25 miles per hour, but there is no chance of rain in the forecast. After a high of the mid-60s Monday, the temperatures are expected to steadily climb into the 70s by Tuesday and the 80s by Thursday. As for the final week of the year, Harrison said it's a little far out to make any reliably accurate predictions, but he believes it will be warmer than normal for the remainder of the holiday break. San Angelo sees rise in catalytic converter thefts. Here's how to keep your vehicle safe. By Elena Edgen, published December 20th. The San Angelo area is seeing a rise in catalytic converter thefts, leaving victims with high bills and unable to drive their vehicles, according to a report from the San Angelo Police Department. From January 1st, 2021 through December 13th, SAPD reported 30 catalytic converter thefts, four of them in the first half of December. This particular crime is an ongoing trend that has affected not only San Angelo, but our surrounding cities as well, the report stated. In response to the rise, Richard Espinoza, public information officer for SAPD, offered these tips. Park in well-lit areas. Park close to building entrances or the nearest road in public parking lots. This leaves your car in a location where many people can see it. If you have a personal garage, keep your car parked inside with the door shut. Add video surveillance to the area where you regularly park your car. Install a catalytic converter-specific security device or have it welded to the car frame. You can also have your VIN number engraved into the catalytic converter or have it spray-painted with mechanic-approved engine paint. Adjust the security system on your car, if already installed, to activate from vibrations, such as those produced by a saw. In Corpus Christi, Andrew Liramatez, program manager for the Corpus Christi Police Department's Auto Theft Task Force, also noted the rise in an interview with the Caller Times in August. It seems everybody knows someone who had a catalytic converter stolen, Liramatez said. Most of these crimes could have been prevented. What is a catalytic converter, and why are they being stolen? A catalytic converter is part of the vehicle exhaust system that reduces emissions. It contains three precious metals, rhodium, palladium, and platinum. Catalytic converters are generally sold to metal recyclers for $150 to $250. These types of thefts have been increasing and across the nation, possibly due to the rise in metal costs in converters. While thieves can saw out the converter in minutes, repairs could cost owners a long time without a vehicle and thousands of dollars. Less converters are available, which makes the parts even more expensive. Shipping delays also compound the problem, taking longer to get them. Larger vehicles, such as vans and pickups, are a common target due to easier access. Toyota Tundras and Priuses have been hit as well due to having multiple converters. In the past year, there have been numerous reports in the U.S. of shootings involving the attempted theft of a converter. Additionally, there have also been multiple deaths reported from vehicles falling on people during an attempted theft. If your converter is stolen, your vehicle will likely be much louder than normal while driving. People are encouraged to contact law enforcement and report suspicious activity. Robot nurse assistants are joining Texas hospitals amid healthcare worker shortage. By John Tufts, published December 20th. As Texas grapples with a dire nursing shortage, some hospitals are augmenting their workforce with artificially intelligent robots. In the West Texas city of San Angelo, 260 miles southwest of Dallas, Shannon Medical Center's newest assistants are roaming the hallways, but not on two legs. They have wheels, oblong faces, and blue eyes that light up, literally into pink hearts. We are one of the first hospitals in the country to have this technology, said Lindy Stone, Shannon's director of marketing. Austin-based company Diligent Robotics created an artificially intelligent robot it calls Moxie to assist healthcare workers. Two such units rolled out for duty in San Angelo on Tuesday, December 14th, to assist with routine tasks such as fetching medications and delivering lab samples. Moxie was named one of Time Magazine's 100 Best Inventions in 2019 and has appeared at other hospital facilities, which include Medical City Dallas Hospital and Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles. It took weeks of testing, learning clinical workflows, and mapping the hospital environment, but both robots completed their first shifts by helping nurses finish dozens of tasks within the first day, a hospital news release stated. It's great, said Michael Smith, a nurse unit manager at Shannon Hospital. We're able to request Moxie for anything that we need, any kind of equipment that may be in different departments, or medications from the pharmacy. Hospital officials say the timing couldn't be better. As the coronavirus pandemic drags into its second year, the nation is grappling with a critical shortage of nurses. Robots to the rescue in Texas nursing shortage. In Texas, there were 35,634 advertised job openings for registered nurses, the highest number of unfilled jobs across the state, according to a labor analysis by the Texas Workforce Commission released Thursday, December 16th. By Sunday, December 20th, the number had grown to 38,489 job openings. Industry leaders worried that there aren't enough incoming nurses to fill those positions. We remain very concerned about the shortage of nursing professionals in Texas, said Carrie Kroll, Vice President of Advocacy, Quality, and Public Health at the Texas Hospital Association. In addition to too few nurses in the pipeline, COVID has left us with an exhausted workforce that is routinely being asked to do more. The American Nurses Association in September sent an urgent letter to the Department of Health and Human Services, calling the nursing shortage both a national crisis and unsustainable. Texas recruited 2,500 nurses from outside the state, the ANA cited in its six-page letter, while hospitals in Tennessee were operating with 1,000 fewer staff than at the beginning of the pandemic, prompting them to call the National Guard for reinforcements. Kroll said the Texas Hospital Association is already looking ahead to see what can be done to ensure a stable and robust nursing workforce for the future. That future, as Andrea Tomas envisions it, will involve robots like Moxie at Shannon Medical Center. Meet Moxie, an artificially intelligent robot designed to assist nurses. Moxie is designed to work side by side with people as a teammate, said Tomas, co-founder and CEO of Diligent Robotics, who said the healthcare industry was a good fit for robotic helpers. Before launching her company in 2018 with co-founder Vivian Chu, Tomas and a team of researchers spent 6 months following nurses at three different hospitals, watching what nurses were doing and carrying. Nurses and clinicians are amazing, Tomas said. They do anything for their patients. If they need to run to the lab to get something, they do it. If they need to run to the pharmacy, they'll do it without complaint. During the roughly 150 hours that Tomas and her team observed nurses at the hospital, they learned healthcare workers spent up to 30% of their time hunting and gathering for supplies, in which Tomas felt could be better spent focusing on what nurses do best, patient care. She said it made perfect sense for a robotic teammate to step in and lighten the load. We saw the opportunity to help, and that's really what launched the company, Tomas said. After years of testing, Diligent Robotics designed Moxie to navigate the labyrinth of hospital corridors while transporting medical supplies, thanks to drawers at the base of the robot. Moxie is helping us spend more time with patients, nurses say. Nurses at Shannon appeared thankful to have Moxie on the team. It's a benefit that we don't have to run downstairs to take supplies to other departments, Smith said, adding Moxie has allowed him and other nurses more time at their patient's bedside. Moments earlier, Moxie had whirled up to Smith with a prescription locked inside a compartment, which wouldn't open until Smith scanned his identification badge. The training process was simple, Smith said, describing how staff learned to work alongside Moxie. Just a PowerPoint presentation is all it took. We just have to request Moxie from the kiosk that's at the nurse's station and send it on its way to pick up whatever equipment we need. After Smith collected the prescription, Moxie chirped, then her eyes lit up, and once again she was back to scooting down the hospital hallways. Moxie's artificial intelligence makes her sensitive to people walking, standing, or moving nearby. If Moxie encounters an obstacle, she will navigate around it or pause until the obstacle moves, a company spokesperson said. At night, Moxie requires about 2 hours on a charging station before getting back to work. What nursing groups had to say about Moxie. Most nursing organizations around Texas appeared optimistic by Moxie and what similar innovations could mean for future health care. There is great opportunity for technology to offload routine tasks to enable nurses to do more of what they love, being with patients, said Cindy Zolnarek, CEO with the Texas Nurses Association, in an email. Much of the work of nursing is cognitive, such as interpreting information and using clinical reasoning and judgment to adapt patient care, Zolnarek said. Physical tasks, like hunting and gathering supplies and endless documentation, takes away from their ability to be at the bedside assessing their patients. Kroll sounded pleased by technology that could aid hospital staff in their daily activities. We can't speak to Moxie's particular capabilities, but we are encouraged by innovations that focus on improving the delivery of hospital-based medical care and allows nurses to continue to provide direct patient care, Kroll said. But not everyone seemed ready to welcome artificially intelligent robots into the hospital. I think in this moment it's extremely insensitive to introduce the idea of a robot that is both untested and unproven in this environment, said Michelle Mahon, registered nurse and assistant director of nursing practice with National Nurses United, a nursing union boasting 175,000 members. Mahon said she thought the concept of Moxie sounded nifty, but believes what hospital administrators should be investing in is the human side of healthcare, nurses, not machines. The type of help nurses need right now isn't necessarily a helper robot. Certainly in the era of COVID-19, it should be demonstrating that we value nurses and the human care that they deliver, Mahon said, who advocated nurses receive better staffing and workplace conditions, as well as fair compensation and violence protection for female nurses. That investment needs to supersede the priority for various gadgets in the short term, Mahon said. The application of technology is usually at the expense of patient care. During her interview, Tomas was quick to point out that Moxie is not a replacement for human healthcare workers, but a means in which they can devote more time to caring for patients. In no way is Moxie doing the job of a nurse, Tomas said. We're not doing any patient care. We're not able to take on all the amazing work that a nurse would do. What we can do is give back some time that a nurse would otherwise have to be running around the hospital. And so that's really where we see our value, is being able to step in and give back that gift of time to focus on patient care, Tomas said. Christy Rodriguez honored with Memorial Bench in San Angelo, by Jay Moreno, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times, published December 19th. The mother of Christy Rodriguez, has dedicated a bench in honor of her daughter, who was killed in a car crash in January 2021. The bench includes a drawing of Rodriguez with Jesus Christ and was made by Smith Steelworks, a Utah-based steel fabrication company. It replaced the already existing bench for the 18th and Chadburn Street bus stop on Saturday, December 18th, near the site of the crash. The placement was offered by Pastor Tim Davenport Herbst of the St. Paul Presbyterian Church. We wanted to do a bench as a permanent memorial that is also going to benefit the community, said Rodriguez's mother, Sharon Troy. The idea of a bench was given public attention through a GoFundMe campaign started by Troy and her daughter, Candace, in October, which raised over $4,000 of its nearly $6,000 goal. The Troy family also earned money through T-shirt sales in memoriam of Rodriguez. I had a feeling people would be generous about it, Troy said. I feel blessed that people wanted to give. During the summer, Troy approached the Texas Bank location on North Chadburn Street about replacing the bench with one in her daughter's memory, to which the bank accepted. They didn't hesitate, Troy said. They were just all in, as long as they could approve it. Throughout her life, Rodriguez was passionate about advocating for mental health awareness, having worked for MHMR Services of the Concho Valley at the San Angelo Clubhouse, a local mental health resource center. Troy said some members of the clubhouse credited her daughter for their recovery in mental illness, saying they wouldn't be where they are today if it weren't for Rodriguez. She wanted the absolute best for all the clubhouse members, and she made you feel welcome, Troy said. She always checked in on people, even if some of the members stopped coming. She would, on her own time, go over and check on them. The placement of the bench on Saturday achieved Troy's goal of having it placed before Christmas Day, which would have been Rodriguez's 39th birthday. She said she named her daughter Christine Noel as a symbol of her birth on the holiday. San Angelo Central cheerleading team wins state title, takes aim at nationals. By Jay Moreno, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times, published December 18th. The awards keep piling up for the San Angelo Central cheerleading team. Central scored the most points out of any team at the National Cheerleading Association's state competition in Dallas on December 12th, earning the Herky High Point Award. Central did it with a first-place finish in the Class 6A game day division, along with sweeping the top two spots in the mascot competition. The school's mascots, Dynamite, Lila Turner, and Dynamo, Bailey Jowers, were first and second, respectively. A lot of the girls really practice and really try to win, San Angelo Central junior cheerleader Ella Burns said. It was really fun. The Cheer Cats, coached by Matt Eskew and Michaela Morgan, are no strangers to success. Central won the NCAA national team title in 2019. Was the UIL State Spirit runner-up in 2020, and had the TGCA Cheerleader of the Year for 2020-2021, Haley Smith. Before we start practicing, our coach always tells us that every second counts, said junior cheerleader Cameron Torres. That really pushes us to think every second does count, and every moment we need to take in and be our best. Many of Central's cheerleaders are also a part of the school's gymnastics program, which has claimed 10 state titles, including the last three. We're definitely in pretty good shape endurance-wise, Burns said of the students on both the gymnastics and cheer teams. It kind of helps with being able to stay energetic with the entire team. In regards to the San Angelo Central cheer team's success, they cite the motivation from Eskew and Morgan as well as their close bond as a team to help them succeed. We're like a family, said senior cheerleader Sydney Edgar. We probably see each other more than we see our parents. The Central Cheer Cats are set to compete at the NCAA Nationals competition in Dallas on January 22nd and 23rd. San Angelo man charged after crashing vehicle into van with woman and children inside, by Elena Edgen, published December 18th. A San Angelo man has been indicted after crashing his vehicle into a van with a woman and her children inside, according to court documents released Thursday, December 16th. On May 25th, 2021, police arrived at an apartment in the 2400 block of Lily Street for a domestic disturbance involving two vehicles. A woman told officers she and a man she was dating had an argument earlier that day, according to an arrest affidavit. She attempted to drive away from the apartment with her two children in her van when her van was struck by the man's Honda at a high rate of speed, intentionally, records state. Officers noted her driver's side airbag deployed and there was damage to her van's back passenger side and right front bumper. The man left the Honda and fled on foot before officers arrived, according to court documents. Donovan Elijah James Price Guzman, 30, was arrested August 30th on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, evading arrest detention, three misdemeanors, and three warrants. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $53,026 bond as of 2:45 p.m. Friday, December 17th, according to online jail records. An indictment released in a December 16th report charged him with three counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, all enhanced to first-degree felonies. These are punishable by 5 to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. The charges were enhanced due to his conviction for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon in Tom Green County in 2015. A court date has been tentatively scheduled for January 2022, according to online court records. Here's which San Angelo operations and services will be closed Christmas and New Year's, by Elena Edgen, published December 17th. City officials announced several offices and services would be closed around the holidays, including how trash services would be impacted on Friday. Here's what officials said. Trash pickup services will continue as scheduled, but the landfill will be closed on Christmas and New Year's Day. City offices that will be closed December 23rd, 24th, and 31st are Water Billing Services, Station 618 Senior Center, Santa Fe Crossing Senior Center, Parks and Recreation Offices, Southside Recreation Center, Carl Ray Johnson Recreation Center, McNeese Convention Center, San Angelo, Tom Green County Health Department, Fairmont Cemetery's Business Offices, Municipal Court, San Angelo Animal Shelter. These offices will reopen at 8 a.m. December 27th and January 3rd. There will not be COVID-19 reports on December 23rd, 24th, or 31st. Those reports will be released the following Monday. Other locations closed include the San Angelo Nature Center will be closed December 23rd, 25th through the 25th, and December 31st through January 1st. The Women, Infants, and Children's WIC office will be closed December 22nd and 23rd, 30th, and January 1st. Due to the New Year's holiday, they will reopen on January 8th. The Tom Green County Library System will be closed December 24th and 25th, and December 31st through January 2nd. Fort Concho will close December 24th and 25th, and December 31st and January 1st. Around these dates, there will be self-guided tours for these times. December 23rd, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. December 26th, 1 to 5 p.m. December 27th through the 30th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. January 2nd, 1 to 5 p.m. Their art pieces. San Angelo natives open exclusive shoe store downtown, by Rosanna Frere, published December 17th. Are you a sneakerhead, always on the lookout for new kicks? This new store has you covered. San Angelo natives Yolanda and Juan Salazar opened Public Hype, 19 West Bourgard Avenue, selling hot releases and exclusive runs of shoes. Most of the shoes that we have are shoes that are under 60,000 pairs in the world, Juan said. They're very hot on demand, some as low as 1 in 10,000 pairs in the world. Juan said most shoes are Nike, Adidas, and others that have collaborations with celebrities, such as Travis Scott, Virgil Abloh, and Kanye West. The shoe prices can range from $150 all the way to thousands of dollars. They're art pieces, Juan said. We don't carry a full-size range of shoes since they are hard to get. We get what we get, and then it leaves, just like art. Public Hype was located in Sunset Mall as a 30-day pop-up store earlier in the year. I didn't think there was a big market here, but it was only 2 weeks there and we started making it, Juan said. The couple said they decided to find a spot downtown and opened their doors on November 27th on Small Business Saturday. Although the doors just opened, the business has been running since 2017. This was my son's and wife's dream to start this when our son introduced us into the sneaker community culture, Juan said. It has become a huge market all over the world. Juan and Yolanda both graduated from San Angelo schools. When their son turned 3 years old in 2007, they moved to Austin. We wanted to give him a bigger opportunity than what we had, Juan said. We moved down there, then moved back to San Angelo 2 decades later. Their son graduated from high school and went to college, and stay-at-home mom Yolanda wanted to find a new path. Being a mom was my identity, and I just didn't know who I was with my son leaving to college, Yolanda said. I had to find myself, so I thought I'd do this store and I'll build self-confidence. The couple's son created the business name and logo, while Yolanda runs the store daily, and Juan runs the family's IT business in Austin. Mom is making his dream come true, and he gets to watch it, Juan said. This is more than us just opening a store. There's a purpose for this, and we'll be here until the community doesn't want it. Juan said the community has responded well to the business, and they even have weekly customers. We appreciate every single person that has come through our shop, whether they bought anything or not. It means a lot to us, Juan said. It's a dream that our son had that we get to see flourish. Comanche County Sheriff reports suspected human trafficker of more than 1,000 persons arrested by Timothy Chip, Abilene Reporter News, published December 16th. Comanche. The Comanche County Sheriff's Office on Thursday said a 2-year investigation resulted in an arrest of a suspected human trafficker responsible for more than 1,000 persons smuggled into the United States. According to the Sheriff's Office, the arrest was made Tuesday after U.S. Border Patrol and Department of Homeland Security officials executed an arrest and search warrant at a residence in the 500 block of FM 3381 east of the Comanche city limits. The suspect, a 33-year-old illegal alien, the office said, was taken to a federal detention facility. The suspect is being charged with possession of firearms by an illegal alien, human smuggling, and possession of fraudulent documents. The case is pending in the western and northern districts of Texas, the office said. Other agencies assisting in the arrest came from areas between Del Rio and Fort Worth, the office said. Looking for a Christmas meal in San Angelo? Here's where to pre-order or dine in. By Elena Edgen, published December 16th. Christmas is fast approaching, and so are holiday meals. For people who want to spend less time cooking and more time eating with loved ones, here are some options to try in San Angelo. Where to pre-order Christmas meals and sides in San Angelo? Helen's Bistro and Bakery No. 2. When to order? Now, while supplies last. Options. Helen's is open for sweet orders, including cinnamon rolls, fruit kolaches, and holiday desserts. For more information, call 325-245-6324 or in person at 33 West Beauregard Avenue. Rogue Kitchen. When to order? December 24th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. what it comes with. There are several options with prices varying. Here are some of the options. Visit the restaurant or their Facebook page for full list and prices. Breakfast options are brisket hash, Texas two-step, pancake package, Brandy's cinnamon rolls, and carrot or blueberry muffins. Grazing boxes offer an assortment of meats, cheeses, nuts, fruits, vegetables, crackers, and spreads. There is a flat fee of $25 per box and an additional $3 to $6 depending on how elaborate it is. Smoked meats are available by the pound, and they are chopped brisket with barbecue sauce and pickles, smoked turkey breast, and spiral ham. Side options are brisket mac and cheese, plain mac and cheese, and a jalapeno chicken bake. Dessert options include peach or white chocolate raspberry cobbler, cakes, pies, cookies, and Chef Jason's candied pecans. For more information, call 325-651-0660. Check out their Facebook or visit 8022 Loop 570 in Wall. San Angelo restaurants open on Christmas Day. We recommend that you call ahead to ensure availability, since some restaurants expect to see a high demand. Here are some options. Craving Crab, 4509 Sherwood Way, will be open. Call 325-617-2050. Denny's, 427 West Avenue I, will be open for their regular 24 hours. Call 325-653-9935. Golden Corral, 87 West Houston Heart Expressway, will be open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Call 325-949-6064. IHOP, 4302 College Hills Boulevard, will be open 24 hours. Call 325-223-2865. McDonald's, with locations at 520 North Bryant Boulevard, 610 West 29th Street, and 4330 Southwest Boulevard, will be open until 11 p.m. Roxy's Diner, 4609 South Jackson, will be open. Call 325-655-4403. Vehicle stop in San Angelo leads to more than $750,000 in narcotics, two arrests. By Elena Edgen, published December 15th. Two 19-year-old men were arrested after a traffic stop in San Angelo led to the discovery of several narcotics, including 12 pounds of pills, according to a Wednesday police news release. On December 4th, police stopped a vehicle in the 2900 block of North Bryant Boulevard for a traffic violation. During the investigation, detectives found approximately 12 pounds of suspected oxycodone pills, which have a street value of over $750,000, according to the release. Investigators also found about 66 grams of THC products, 51 grams of marijuana, 2 grams of cocaine, and $952 of U.S. currency, the release stated. Police arrested the vehicle's occupants, Esquiel Asmitas Jimenez and Matthew Juan, both 19 years old. Asmita Jimenez was arrested on suspicion of possession of oxycodone, THC, and marijuana. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $301,000 bond as of Wednesday, according to online jail records. Juan was arrested on suspicion of possession of oxycodone, THC, cocaine, and marijuana. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on a $96,000 bond December 7th. According to online jail records. Crunch Fitness opening its doors for workouts after months of construction in San Angelo. By Rosanna Frere, published December 15th. Crunch Fitness is opening its doors for workouts in San Angelo on Thursday, December 16th. The new gym is opening in the former Mr. Gaddy's Pizza building at 4349 Sherwood Way. It's a no-judgment club, and we offer seven clubs in one, Chief Marketing Officer for Crunch, Brooke Chavez, said. We offer everything from cardio to weights to tanning to massage to group fitness, personal training. We basically give you the best value for your buck. Prices from the gym start at $9.99 and go up to $29.99. The gym is open 24/7. We will always have staff here, whether someone is just cleaning or working the front, Chavez said. The gym will be open on Thursday at 2 p.m. and will resume normal business hours from there on. Kids Crunch Babysitting will open on December 17th and will be available Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 4 to 8 p.m., Saturday 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., and Sunday 1 to 4 p.m. Group fitness, ride, and hit zone classes will begin on December 27th. The official class schedule will be posted online soon at crunch.com. Sisters opening frozen yogurt candy shop in downtown San Angelo in 2022 by Rosanna Frere, published December 15th. The rumors are true. A frozen yogurt shop is opening in San Angelo after local favorite TJ's Frozen Yogurt closed its doors in August. The owner of TJ's, Janet and Tommy Lay, stated they were working on finding someone to continue the TJ's tradition of selling Froyo in San Angelo. The owners of Old Central Firehouse Pizzeria and Tap Room, Michelle and Jody Bavish, purchased the equipment, and the Lays passed along their recipes. The shop owners will be the Babish's daughters, Sierra Brady and Dakota Heath. We thought it would be fun to have that fun, nostalgic feel, Michelle said. It's really the girls' business, and I'm just trying to help them out with the knowledge I have from owning a couple of businesses. Although the equipment and recipes will be the same, the new name will be Froyo and Sweets Downtown. Located at 17 West Beauregard Avenue, with a targeted opening date of April 2022. In addition to the frozen yogurt, the shop will also offer bulk candy served by the ounce. We want to be a fun downtown hangout, Brady said. We have great restaurants downtown, so we hope to attract tourists and locals as they are shopping and eating down Concho Street and then make their way down to us. Michelle said their hearts are in downtown and are excited to bring another business to it. People come to see history and culture downtown, so this is one more thing to enhance that and get people down here, Michelle said. We think Beauregard is going to be as happening as Concho Street. Boba Tea House opening its doors in San Angelo, offering Asian food, Korean corn dogs, and more. By Rosanna Frere, published December 15th. The WTX Boba Tea House is opening its doors in San Angelo on Thursday, December 16th, offering Asian food, Korean corn dogs, rice bowls, and more. The shop is opening at 13 West Beauregard at 9 a.m. Thursday and will be open Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. The tea house is opening across from 01 Ale House, 20 West Beauregard Avenue. If you put our address in maps, you get taken to HEB on Sherwood. We tried to correct it with Google, but had no hope, owner and operator Tran Kwayan said. The company wants San Angelo to know that they are selling authentic tapioca boba and not popping boba, like what some local restaurants already sell. Boba drinks are a concoction of either tea or juice, combined with milk, fruit syrup, ice, and small marbles of tapioca. Quinn said him and his fiance grew up around boba and wanted to bring the authentic tapioca bubbles to San Angelo. If you want to get authentic boba, you have to drive to San Antonio or Dallas, he said. I felt like the demand is pretty hot, and I just love this city, so thought, why not pay homage and respect to the city? Aside from boba, teas, and drinks, the menu will consist of various foods. Our menu pays homage to our Asian roots, all while paying respect to West Texas, San Angelo in particular, Quayen said. We call ourselves a mixology tea house and food concept. The tea house will specialize in homemade tapioca pearls, fresh loose leaf teas, Korean corn dogs, rice bowls, and pandan ub waffles. We strive to not only provide the most aesthetically pleasing drinks and food, but the best tasting as well, Quayen said. We don't cut corners and are true to our roots. Our menu is so special that even states that have boba around every corner can't produce what we are able to. In the shop, there will be games, arcades, karaoke, and a free student center for students to print and study. We try and capture everything to be a place for everyone, Quayen said. The tea house opened earlier in the year, but shut down shortly after for remodeling. On Thursday, the shop will be open permanently. We just had a soft opening to gauge interest, Quinn said. After we knew we had something this city loves, we shut down for our remodel to ensure that we opened back up at our best. Transpacus black-headed snake spends most of its life underground in Texas. By Michael Price, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times, published December 22nd. When it comes to rules, it seems there is only one rule, and that is, there are almost always exceptions to rules. But even that statement, in and of itself, is not a true rule, so maybe this isn't the place to discuss philosophy. My point about exceptions to the rules applies to the size of a species of rarely seen serpent that, up until a decade or so ago, was known from less than 50 specimens. The Transpacus black-headed snake is a harmless and uber-secretive serpent that is one of five species of the genus Tantilla that call Texas home. But unlike the other species of this genus, which are quite diminutive, averaging less than 7 inches in total length, this variety of black-headed snake is a true giant among its kinfolk. Most adults observed are well over 1 foot in total length, and many of those are larger, up to 16 inches in total length. The record-sized individual was just under 18 inches. In fact, it is more common to see the larger specimens than it is the smaller individuals. Out of the dozen or so of these creatures that I have been privy to find in the wild, only one was less than 12 inches. Despite the markedly noticeable size differences, this species is like other family members in that it is rather unassuming in appearance. The body coloration varies slightly from tan to earthy tone brown, with no distinctive markings whatsoever. The head is entirely black, as if someone took the snake and dipped its head into a can of black paint. Occasionally, some individual populations will also have a white ring around the neck and a splash of white between the eye and the corner of the mouth. At one time, these two morphs were thought to be distinct enough from one another to allow for them to be taxonomically classified as two different subspecies of the same species. But genetic work has shown that these morphs are the same. The belly is an off-white coloration, and due to the dorsal scales being small and smooth, this snake oftentimes will have a glossy sheen appearance. As their common name suggests, the Transpacus black-headed snake has been observed throughout many of the high elevation, heavily vegetated mountain ranges in western Texas. It is in these mountain ranges that it finds home in the grassland milieu, where the soil consistency is conducive to the allowance of easy burrowing penetration. A secondary habitat is the fractured terrain in and among the mesas of the lower Stockton Plateau. Wherever it occurs, the soil must have a certain amount of moisture to hold the required high humidity that it prefers. As with almost all other reptiles that reside in temperate climates, they undergo a period of inactivity during the coldest months of the year, allowing sexually mature adults to generate the sperm and eggs necessary for successful reproduction in the spring. Much akin to most other harmless snakes found in Texas, Transpacus black-headed snakes are egg-laying animals. Mating occurs primarily during the month of May, and the 1 to 3 extremely elongate eggs are laid a month later in areas with sufficient humidity. After an approximate 2-month incubation period, the delicate babies hatch, and they are between a mere 5 inches in length, typically mimic the adults in color and pattern, and are capable of fending for themselves from the moment they are born. Transpacus black-headed snakes are primarily fossorial, spending the clear majority of their life underground or beneath surface debris. It is in this habitat where they find their primary prey items of centipedes, spiders, scorpions, and insect larvae. When rainfall is abundant, this species will become surface active, and the vast majority of surface sightings are of individuals found crossing roadways in these conditions. This species, while infrequently encountered, even by those who are actually looking for it, is probably not as rare as once thought. However, it is listed as a threatened species with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and as such, it is protected from capture or harm. This species is rear-fanged and has a mild toxin, but it lacks a sophisticated venom delivery system. The venom is rather weak as well, and is used for obtaining the fierce prey items rather than for defense. Therefore, like the majority of snakes that occur in this state, it is completely harmless to humans. Michael Price is owner of Wild About Texas, an educational company that specializes in venomous animal safety training, environmental consultations, and ecotourism. Contact him at wildabouttexas@gmail.com. And now, here's our column from Allison Watkins. Tips for taking care of the landscape during a warm Texas winter. Published December 22nd. It's tough to figure out what to do in the winter landscape when it's so consistently warm all through December. The nights are chilly and days are shorter, so some plants are going into winter dormancy, but others are hanging on through the spring-like weather. Irises have been blooming, and Bermuda grass lawns are still fairly green. Leaves have just about finished dropping and should not be bagged up to take up space in the landfill. They should instead be used as valuable organic matter in the landscape. Most leaves can just be mowed over on the lawn to shred and break down into the soil, or they can be gathered up for a compost bin or used as mulch in the garden. Water needs are greatly reduced, and irrigation should be reduced to match. Water lawns, shrubs, etc., thoroughly once every 3 to 4 weeks when there's no rain. Water winter vegetables and annual color in beds and containers as needed, up to a couple times per week depending on weather. Clean up frost-damaged perennial tops, and even those that have not been killed by frost can be cut back so mulch can be replenished to protect roots when it gets colder. Ornamental grasses can still provide aesthetic value after they turn brown, so they can be left for the structure and interest they provide. But be sure to cut down to the ground in late winter before new green growth appears. Winter is a great time of year to work on soil improvement. It can be physically demanding, but very simple. Just remember the phrase, compost once, mulch forever. Any spots in the yard that need rejuvenation, or any new beds or gardens that will be added in the spring, should be tilled up to loosen and aerate the heavy soil. Incorporate organic matter, well-finished compost, to maximize the tilling step and allow the soil to stay loosened and porous instead of settling back into compaction. Roots need to breathe, and allowing oxygen to penetrate into the soil more readily can make a huge difference in plant health and growth. And organic matter provides important nutrients and provides many crucial functions for healthy plant growth. December through January is also a good opportunity to prune shade trees. Wait until it cools down more to prune oaks to ensure that the nidadulid beetle that can spread oak wilt disease is dormant. Don't remove more than a third of the canopy in 1 year unless it's dead wood, like ash trees heavily damaged in the February winter storm. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.